I'm Bruce Reynolds from Reynolds Communication. The following podcast is an initiative of the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries Dairy Industry Group. Today I'm talking with Neil Griffiths, who's an agronomist based at Tocal with the department, and we're discussing pasture recovery after floods. Well, Neil, what impact has the current flooding had on pastures on the mid-north coast and the north coast?
Yeah, Bruce, it'll take time to tell exactly what survives, but generally in this time of year, winter floods aren't as damaging often as if we get a flood in hot weather. That does differ depending on the plant species, but most pastures seem to be able to survive a longer period of inundation and waterlogging in cool weather than if we got the same conditions in summertime, then pastures will die within a day or two. At this time of year, we'd be hopeful that provided they haven't been underwater for too long, there's a better chance of recovery in time.
Are there some pastures, though, that won't survive as well as other types of pastures?
Yeah, there is big variations between species, particularly things like lucerne, oats, barley are notorious, and some of the new brassicas that people are using, the forage turnips and rapes and things, they're notorious for being sensitive to waterlogging. So they're the really high-risk things. The more common things like your white clover, your ryegrasses, and although Kaikou is dormant at the moment, those sort of pastures usually have a fair chance of surviving a flood at this time of year. And then we have our other things that are renowned for tolerating wet conditions, like your lotus, your strawberry clover, setaria, those sort of things. They tend to be the sorts of things that are grown in some of the lower areas anyway.
Given that this has been a winter flood, and as you just mentioned, there hasn't been as much damage or shouldn't be as much damage because of being a winter flood as opposed to a summer flood, but should you look at doing anything with your pastures that have been under the water?
Well, that's the hard decision. Although I'm saying on one hand there's a better chance of pastures surviving, on the other hand it takes longer for things to dry out, so you know, we could be stuck dealing with wet, soft paddocks for quite a few weeks, if not months, sort of depending on what happens in future. I guess the sorts of things, but you've just got to wait and see what happens. Obviously, if pastures do recover with all this wet weather and waterlogging, the ryegrass, which is the best chance of survival, will be very low in nitrogen. The nitrogen's leached or been lost through waterlogging. So if there's still a reasonable plant stand, people will need to consider top dressing with some urea as soon as they can safely get onto the paddocks. Need to look at what weeds might have been introduced and sort of unusual things. And in cases where paddocks like oats or brassicas have fully died out due to the flood, I guess they can consider trying to oversow and replant those paddocks. The trouble at this time of year is that there's no good options. We're really getting a bit late for most of our normal winter pastures, and it's way too early and too cold to be planting the spring things. So best options probably are things like ryegrass and clover, but knowing that at this time of year, if people can get onto paddocks, either to just broadcast seed, or if it was a big enough area and it worthwhile, they could try and get a helicopter in, but that can be expensive. But getting pastures sown now, we're probably not going to be able to get on and graze them until well into August, maybe September, before the pasture will be good enough to graze. So hopefully other things will be coming away by then anyway.
Is it possibly a better option to maybe wait 1 or 2 months, let the paddock dry out, and then plant late August, early September, and try and get that spring growth and rapid spring growth and germination?
Look, that's the safer option. I guess particularly on the north coast, the concern with any spring plantings is we tend to get those dry springs. So we could find that we go straight from flood-affected paddocks into a dry time. So it's another risk, I guess, but that's what people will need to decide. You know, it's going to be expensive to plant, and if they are planting into wet paddocks, probably just as well to throw the seed on, hold off on the fertiliser till they're confident that the pasture is starting to come away, and then top dress. So it really is no clear answer to that. It's just going to be people making their decisions either way trying to weigh up that risk between getting some paddocks replanted and some feed coming away now. And it's probably, in many cases, a little bit of a case of splitting options. So the better areas, maybe try and consider replanting them if they desperately need the feed. And the areas that are a bit on the too wet side or not the best paddocks, well, they might be just as well to consider them a bad risk and maybe look at an early
contemplating planting, whether it's now or in the springtime, what should you be thinking about, particularly with seed rates?
It's always a challenge with seed rates with these forage crops. If we up the seed rate a bit, we're going to get more feed when we come to our first grazing. After that, it doesn't matter so much, but it's particularly critical for that first grazing. But obviously, increasing seed rates increases cost as well. So if people are in the situation of, at the moment, you know, trying to get that bit of early feed in, hopefully a bit of ryegrass coming away in the early spring, then not a bad idea to increase your seed rates, because that you're only going to maybe get one, two, three, even three grazings if you're lucky, depending on varieties. Maybe use a slightly cheaper variety at an increased seed rate to try and get as much early growth and maximise the feed in that first grazing if possible.
Now, after every flood, you seem to lose a proportion of your pasture, as you mentioned, and sometimes a lot of your pasture. But afterwards, you always seem to get weeds and lots of them, either floating in or that just come up in the ground. What should you be thinking about in managing those paddocks with regard to weeds?
Just to keep an eye out for them. You're never 100% sure what's washed in from upstream, and most people have some ideas of the sorts of weeds that are upstream. You know, here in the Hunter Valley, we've got things like blue heliotrope, catheads are notorious. They'll float and spread all over the place. I think the main thing is, rather than trying to sort of second guess any of this stuff, is to just remember to go back and check those paddocks that have been flooded, particularly sort of, you know, in the spring and going into summer, just to see if there are any new and unusual weeds turn up. Particularly keep an eye out for anything that might be poisonous. Some areas do have things like green cestrum, notorious in some of the upstream catchments, and if that's spread down, particularly people that aren't used to those sort of weeds, they can be very poisonous, and better to keep an eye out for them and get rid of them before we start getting livestock deaths that we don't expect in the spring.
With any improvement, though, should a producer sometimes be cautious just to make sure that they're not creating other problems?
With any pasture management, and particularly sowing pastures and using fertilisers and the like, there's always a risk of animal health issues. Most of the things that we grow as pastures potentially can cause stock health problems, bloat being the main one, I guess, but we also sometimes get issues with things like nitrate poisoning and the like. So nothing particularly special about replanting after a flood as far as those sorts of things are concerned, but it's just a general sort of caution anytime people are looking at developing pastures, and particularly when they're using things like nitrogen fertilisers, or you know, if we do get a big spring flush of clovers or something, that you do have to be very mindful that these things are being grown to feed animals, and we need to be careful about some of the animal health implications with any of those practices.
Neil Griffiths, thanks for joining us today. For this podcast and many more podcasts, fact sheets and videos, I encourage you to visit the New South Wales DPI website and click on Dairy.